50 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that segregated schools are unconstitutional. Yet today in Chicago, fewer than 10% of public school students are white, and the federal judge monitoring a desegregation consent decree has said it's passé now that Chicago schools may be more segregated than ever. As part of our series looking at the impact of the Brown versus Board of Education decision, NPR's David Schaefer reports on Chicago's struggle, starting in the 1960s when Mayor Richard J. Daley frustrated the Johnson administration's efforts to desegregate the city's schools.
Nonetheless, whites began fleeing in droves to suburban and parochial schools so that they made up fewer than 20% of the Chicago student population in 1980. That's when the Chicago School Board finally agreed to desegregate and entered into a voluntary consent decree.
And by then it was probably too late.
U.S. District Court Judge Milton Shader originally oversaw the consent decree. He says it acknowledged racial desegregation in Chicago would be nearly impossible, ordering city schools to integrate to the extent practicable, which led to the creation of a few dozen integrated magnet schools. For the hundreds of thousands of children remaining in racially isolated minority schools, the consent decree ordered special services, enhanced programs, and other extra resources to equalize educational opportunities. Chicago School Board President Michael Scott was a member of the board when the decree was enacted. He says the extra funding never materialized, and the consent decree itself lacked teeth for enforcement.
And so all of that promise for these additional resources and this making up for past inequities really kind of, for all intents and purposes, fell by the wayside.
The result today is that the vast majority of Chicago's minority students attend racially isolated schools that fail to provide quality education.
Like Sojourner Truth School, where we are now, 10% of our children are reading at or above level.
Wanda Hopkins is a parent organizer for a citywide grassroots school reform organization, and her own kids used to attend Sojourner Truth Elementary School in the Cabrini-Green housing complex on Chicago's Near North Side. She and other parents are meeting in the school's lunchroom, strategizing ways to improve student performance at the school. Parent Danita Davis complains the school lacks proper resources, especially when it comes to good teachers.
It's not so much the books we don't get, it's not so much the computers, it's the teachers. Because before we had computers and books, we had teachers.
Studies show all across the city, schools for low-income Black or Hispanic students tend to have higher teacher turnover rates and more uncertified teachers. Parents complain their school buildings are more apt to be in disrepair or overcrowded, and that supplies are often lacking. While schools in mostly white neighborhoods or the magnet and selective enrollment schools many whites attend have the most qualified teachers, and a few are in brand new buildings. From Cabrini-Green, parents like Hopkins can see one palatial new high school built exclusively for the city's highest scoring students who tend to be middle and upper class.
It's just not fair. Brown versus Board of Education may have won something, but it did not win for us.
Fred Hess is director of the Center for Urban School Policy at Northwestern University and recently studied the allocation of resources to Chicago's racially isolated schools.
The distribution of funds across the Chicago schools today, if you look at classes of schools, is fairly equal. That's really the problem.
Hess says under the consent decree, the racially isolated poor schools are supposed to be getting more resources than white middle-class schools.
The issue really behind desegregation is to make sure that every kid, regardless of his race and regardless of his economic standing, has an opportunity to learn that's equivalent to that of other kids across the country. And that sometimes means that they need more resources to have an equal opportunity.
Chicago school officials say despite extremely limited resources, they are trying to do just that. And they believe even those schools completely segregated by race can succeed. Beethoven Elementary School on Chicago's South Side is one such school, succeeding against the odds. Every single one of the 600 or so children enrolled here is Black. About three-quarters of them are low-income. Standing in the hallway, Principal Dyrese Turner says there's always something going on at Beethoven.
From 7:30 a.m. to 7 o'clock p.m., we have several after-school programs. We partner with many major organizations.
Turner says Beethoven partners with the Boys and Girls Club, local universities, corporate sponsors, and private foundations, providing grants and other support. Beethoven's teachers agreed to lengthen their workday. There's extra instruction and tutoring before and after school, art and music programs, even poetry.
I saw a cat, not the cat in the hat, but a cat with a hump on its back. I left with other care, and then came a bear.
Again, Principal Dyrese Turner.
Our focus is the entire student, not just the academic area. You know, for a child to be truly educated, it's not just about reading and math. It's about exposure to the fine arts, the arts. It's about social adjustment.
And when it comes to standardized tests, Beethoven's students perform better than most, with about half scoring at or above grade level in reading and math. Chicago school officials are trying to replicate the success of Beethoven in other schools, but they admit they have a long way to go toward providing quality educational opportunities in all of the city's racially isolated schools. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.